You're listening to Vulcan Has a Faith, the audio podcast about New Birmingham and the people making a difference.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is another wonderful day here in Birmingham, and we are at another fantastic recording of Vulcan Has a Faith. Today, I have a very interesting guest with me whom he doesn't know it, but I've known him before he even knew me. Actually met him randomly at a Birmingham Urban League meeting, but we'll get to that later on in the interview. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Gilberto Herrera.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Gilberto, first of all, thank you for joining us here at Vulcan Has a Faith. I really wanted to just dive right in with who you are because there's so many different levels to you, and the person that I know, I want them to know you as well. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So I was born in Panama, the country, raised in Brooklyn, New York, went to high school in Birmingham, Alabama. So you can see why I do so many things because I'm around so many different type of people.
Okay.
So I'm really just a person that wants everyone to have what they come for.
Awesome.
I'm a real estate investor. Mm-hmm. I have a consulting firm. But pretty much my passion is giving back to the people. So I run a financial literacy program at the Birmingham Urban League. I'm the PR coordinator and the marketing director for C4 Mentoring. Mm-hmm. And you name an organization in Birmingham, I guarantee you I've worked with them.
Absolutely. It seems like you have your hand in a lot of different things. And so I just want to dial it back here. First of all, what high school did you go to?
I went to Huffman.
Huffman High School, so you're a Viking.
I am.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I went to Phillips Red Raiders and Ramsey, too. So, yeah, we kind of got a little beef there with you. But.
Well, I mean, I wasn't here long, so I don't know what the beef would come from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. you brought up a lot of different areas. And the thing is like, I know you from the Birmingham Urban League, even before you knew me. But then I actually met you about a year and a half ago, reconnected with you through C4 Mentoring.
Correct.
I really want to dive into that because, as you know, this podcast is all about all things Birmingham. And with you having your hands in mentoring young boys.
Correct.
Yes. I want to kind of dive into that a little bit as well, too.
So C4 Mentoring stands for Cultivate For. Our principles are heritage, education, leadership, and manhood. That's where the Cultivate For stands comes from. We operate out of Smith Middle School on the east side.
Okay.
We work with pretty much all the boys, 6th grade through 8th grade, that have been discounted and that are falling through the cracks.
Wow.
And we take them, we spend a whole day with them on Tuesday from the time they get to school to even after school. We have an after-school program where we help them with their homework. We focus on reading comprehension and math, and then we play basketball with them. Our main goal is to not only pour into them, but to pour into their parents as well. So we have a structure where everybody that's a mentor not only has to take on mentors themselves, but mm-hmm. they have to establish a relationship with the parents to check in on and see what's going on at home. Because as you know, coming from where we come from, we deal with a lot of single mothers.
Yeah.
So, it gives them a peace of mind knowing that they have males that check in on them and ask them how they can help, not just in the school, but outside of the school as well. And, you know, as a result, we've seen improvement in grades, improvement mm-hmm. in behavior, improvement in attendance at school, and just, boys that really didn't have, you know, a drive to do anything besides be a rapper or an athlete, they're now finding their way and attaching themselves to their purpose early on in life. And
love
that's
it.
Our goal.
Love it. I can definitely attest to that. I've definitely been a single mother before, for sure. And it's important for young black males
Absolutely.
To have someone to look up to that they can relate to. I have to dive a little bit deeper. Where did the inspiration come for you to get involved in C4? Is there a background there with you?
So Lavelle and Jermaine, the founders, are my friends. And, me coming from where I come from, Panama is a pretty poor country. I was fortunate enough to have a grandfather who was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
He found a way for me and my grandmother to leave Panama and come to the United States.
Wow.
And then just, even growing up in Brooklyn, opportunities just weren't there. And then coming here, I've always been great at networking and meeting people. Like, I can go in any room and meet anyone that I want to, just because I know how to add value to everyone.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of had like the Robin Hood mentality. I'm like, everything that I'm learning over here, over the mountain, I want to bring it back to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so, and that's where my passion developed. And, you know, I've worked with several other organizations, but when I saw Jermaine and Lavelle, you know, establish theirs, I started shifting all my resources and all my time towards that, because I know that came from the heart. I mean, it's truly grassroots. We don't have any grants. We don't have any funding from any corporations nor the city, yet we make a difference.
That's powerful. That's definitely powerful. And I can attest to C4. I've been involved with you guys. I have given as well. I definitely stand behind C4.
Well, we appreciate you.
Absolutely. And I will continue to. Let's dive into financial literacy. When I think about that, I think about you. I think about, there's a couple of words that comes to mind when I think about Gilberto Herrera. I think about branding. I think about people. I think about financial literacy. I think about marketing. I'd love to talk about each one of those, but I'd love to talk about financial literacy, because in the community, in the Black community, we don't have the access to those different things. And I would love to see, what do you do when it comes to that aspect of who you are?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that we don't have access to capital, because Black people, I mean, we spend the most money in the U.S. I mean, if
biggest consumers.
Yeah. If we stop shopping, a lot of corporations are shut down. So we have the means to get in it. We just don't know how to keep it. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to protect it. We don't know how to make it work for us. You know, the part of the reason why I'm able to do so many things is because I focus on it to the point where I can put a structure and a process in place where it runs itself. So even with my real estate, you know, business, I have a partner who handles most of the day-to-day stuff. You know, he and I meet once a week. You know, my marketing consulting company, I have different, you know, I'm pretty much like the doctor. I assess your problem, and then I have, you know, others that I refer you to once we assess your problem. You know, so it's just putting, and if you treat your finances the same way, like, you know, get it to the point where you start automating things. Mm-hmm. Kind of like when you get your paycheck, you don't even see how much they take out for insurance and taxes.
Right.
Why don't you do the same for yourself? Like, you should pay yourself first. You know, make sure that certain things are going in the right places before you start spending.
Okay. I'm going to throw something out there. What if someone who is a person that makes, I don't know, $250 a week, would that still be applicable to them, that a person that makes, I don't know, $2,000 a week?
Absolutely. It's the same principles, just bigger numbers. You should always pay yourself first. You know, figure out how much, try to control your expenses.
Okay.
That's another thing.
That is a huge thing.
You know, part of the problem that we have as Black people, I mean, just, you know, as a whole, is we think with our feelings. We want it right now. We got to have
impulse. It.
Absolutely. And we feel good for the time being. And once that temporary feeling is gone, we got to go back and chase it again. So
I can definitely attest to that.
And then, you know, as we start making more money, we start spending more. Instead of keep minimizing our expenses and increasing, you know, the amount of revenue that we make. You know, for instance, you might make $2,000 a week, but you start making $4,000 a week, you're going to want to get the bigger house. You're going to want to get the better car. So you're naturally spending more because you want to, you know, you want the luxuries of life. Whereas someone like me, I have $2,000 more coming in. I'm going to see how I can turn that $2,000 into $10,000. You know, and then I'm going to take that $10,000 and I'm going to turn it into, you know, $20,000. And then before you know it, I have so much coming in that I can't spend it all. And that's the goal. And then you can really go out and buy the house you want cash. And that way you don't have to pay interest and, you know, that you don't get hit with taxes. Or you can go buy that car that depreciates every year, you know, and go to the dealership and make them an offer they can't refuse. Because,
absolutely,
you know, you know for a fact, you can buy it right now and I have to get it financed.
Last part on this with the financial literacy. Now, you've intrigued me now. I love talking about money. But would you say that we should start early in the schools with this?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
They don't teach. I'm noticing, you know, with dealing with onboarding people, I have people, you know, young people that don't know what the routing number versus the accounting number is. They don't teach those sorts of things in school anymore. Would you say that that's something that should start relatively early?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like, you know, you shouldn't depend on a school to do that. I mean, that should start from the household.
True.
I mean, even though the important stuff isn't really taught in grade school, and financial literacy being one of them, it should start at home. You know, like, as parents, you know, our kids are a reflection of who we are. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm a father just like you. So mm-hmm. I can't expect for someone to go out and teach my kids what I expect for them to know. Absolutely. I should take the time out to really teach them those things. And, you know, of course, as kids, they don't want to hear it. But if they with frequency and consistency, they'll eventually get it.
Yeah. Especially dealing with teenagers.
Yeah. But. And as you know, we are in the information age, but we still have industrial age thinking. A lot of us are programmed to go to school, get a job. You know, go to school, go to college, and get a job. And we incur so much debt in the process. Whereas back in the day when grandpa and grandma were living, mm-hmm. you know, they can bypass all that, work at a plant or somewhere for the years, have a nice pension, and be good for the rest of their lives. It's no longer that way.
Yeah, I would agree. Tell me, who is Gilberto Inspires?
So that was just something that like I said, I'm here. I just wanted. It's so many negative things that we see on social media daily, and just in the world, that I wanted to just change the narrative and post. You know, start putting out positive things. Mm-hmm. And as you know, when I first started that, I used to put it out so much that it flooded everything else.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a tool of marketing. It's just frequency and consistency.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, I branded myself as that, because when you think of me, I wanted you to feel like I'm here to inspire you and inspire and empower you.
Yeah. I like it because it's so catchy. And is it something that has caught on just in the Birmingham area, or is it something that you're hoping to take nationwide?
I mean, it's wherever I go, people know that name because, you know, my network doesn't just stretch in the Birmingham area. It stretches nationwide. You know, like I said, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I'm a part of the Urban League, so we frequent Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, comrades in the Urban League nationwide. There's an Urban League everywhere. So whenever I go, you know, there's people that know who I am before I even get there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they like, man, I see your posts all the time. I thank you for that.
That's good. Birmingham Urban League, where I met you. Mm-hmm. Didn't even remember me. Darn, man. I'm just kidding. Birmingham Urban League, tell me about that. Tell me your start with it. Tell me, what does Birmingham Urban League stand for?
Well, first and foremost, let me just say this. The Birmingham Urban League is a huge part of who I am today. Mm-hmm. Out 2010 or 2011, I met a gentleman by the name of William Barnes, who's now the CEO of the Urban League. Mm-hmm. At that time, he was just a volunteer.
Yeah.
I was in the process of, like, trying to find who I am. And, you know, he pulled me over to the side one day, you know, like a month after I joined the Urban League. And he was like, hey, how would you feel about having a leadership position? And I was like, man, I don't know anything about leadership. But he was like, man, I believe in you. Just, you know,
those
just
give it a try. Powerful.
And, you know, ever since then, by me being a part of the Urban League, and a lot of people, you know, once I take on something, I feel like it's a part of me. Mm-hmm. I make sure that everybody knows about it. So there were times when people were like, man, are you the CEO or are you the president? And I was never neither of those things. But I just, you know, put the Urban League on my back as if it was my own. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, he's the CEO. So he and I are working, like, a lot of people don't know that I'm now employed by the Urban League to run their financial literacy program.
Wow.
So what the Urban League stands for, it's the oldest civil rights organization of its kind. If you're in need of a job, we find jobs for you. We take it a step further. If you don't even have hard or soft skills to get a job, we do one-on-ones with you to get you trained to the point where you can get a job.
Dude, that is awesome.
Correct. You know, we run financial literacy classes on anything from picking the right bank account to establishing credit. We have a home buyers. We have a home ownership program for first-time home buyers, where we help you get in your first house. If you are struggling to pay your bills, we help you get funding to pay your bills. And we put a plan of action for you so that you don't continue to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
And then we also have a GED class that we teach. So, I mean, there's so many components to the Urban League.
It is.
But now, and also, like William Barnes is in Washington right now fighting for our rights. You know, he went in front of Doug Jones.
I saw that.
And presented the state of Black America to him and, you know, to show him like, hey, you know, although you're in Washington, you still have a responsibility to our people here in Birmingham. Don't forget about where you come from. So we fight for our people day to day as well, right along the side of, you know, the NAACP and you know, organizations just like it.
Dude, I didn't even know all that. So thank you for sharing that with us. I definitely want to get a part of being in the Urban League myself, too.
Well, there is.
Especially standing for things like that and helping people along the way in Birmingham.
Absolutely.
That's what I love.
Yeah, I mean, and right now, our president of the Birmingham Urban League Young Professionals is a female. It's pretty much female-dominated right now, so you'll fit right in.
Oh, let me go and get in there right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, and we can't do it by ourselves, you know.
Okay.
It takes working together, you know, so that we can all see the change that we desire.
Are you recruiting me right now?
Not quite. You know, but that happens off the air.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely talk about it off the air.
You know, we talk about branding and marketing, but what I'm really good at is sales. That's my sales and negotiating. Those are the things that
I see. Yeah. tell us, how can we follow you on social media? How can we learn more about you?
So if you look my name up, Gilberto Herrera, Gilberto, and my last name is Herrera, on any social media, you'll be able to find me. And that's pretty much it. I try, and anybody that I do business with, I'm a direct to consumer kind of guy, so I'll go straight to you and say, hey, we need to have a meeting. but I do a lot of work with a lot of companies that you see that are extremely successful.
Yeah,
I just don't, you know, just out of respect for those companies, I try to stay in the background.
Absolutely.
But I will tell you a couple. I do a lot of work with the Natural Hair and Health Show that you like to go to.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I do a lot of work with iPush Magazine.
Yeah.
As you can see, you know, we have a lot of big things that we're working on.
Yeah.
They're going, we're changing the company from just a print-based company to an actual media agency.
Wow.
You know, kind of like Beham Stands, we want the voice of the people to be heard. You have a lot of news and media outlets that like to, you know, put the narrative out that they want.
Yeah.
But we want the narrative to be controlled by our people. So it takes us doing that.
Raw and uncut? Or
absolutely.
My kind of
people. We wouldn't have it no other way.
I like it. So yeah, I push is definitely something I definitely want to find out more about. Because I've seen the name circulating, but I didn't know much about them as well. It's a Birmingham-based company?
Birmingham-based magazine company.
That's what I'm talking about.
Correct.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we got lots to talk about. I definitely want to thank you for sharing your time, coming on Vulcan Has a Fate. Please don't be a stranger to us.
Absolutely not. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vulcan Has a Fate. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and